Welcome. Thanks for joining us today on the UTG podcast. If you would like further information, please visit our website at understandingthegospel.org. We're joined today by a good friend of Understanding the Gospel and someone who has helped us on occasions with writing and also with some of the videos that we've produced. So welcome, Jim McMaster. Jim serves the Lord down in Newcastle, and it is wonderful to have him with us today on the podcast. So thank you for being with us, Jim.
Great to be with you, Graeme. Nice. Thank you for asking me.
Obviously, you can guess already that Jim is not from Newcastle, from his accent. So you are not from that area, Jim. Where are you from?
I'm originally a Lanarkshire man like you, Graeme. So we need to be careful to talk in English so that people can understand us.
Yeah.
I'm originally from Airdrie.
Actually, one of the schools I go in to visit has got Jim's name up on the wall, actually, as the Ducks medal winner. So we're speaking to somebody who is of a higher echelon education-wise today. I should tell you that school's knocked down now, Jim. Actually, there's a new school.
I knew that, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah. Anyway, just what work are you involved in Newcastle then, Jim? What do you do down there?
Well, mostly at the moment, there's three main areas that we're involved in. The street work with the homeless people and the drug addicts, the prison work, which is particularly encouraging at the moment, and then the work in the local assembly, which all these two works, the street work and the prison work, kind of feed into, really.
Yeah. Just to rewind maybe a little bit then, and how did you move from Lanarkshire down to the Newcastle area? When did that happen as well?
Well, that happened in the early 80s, Graeme. I finished my studies up in Glasgow and then Ayrshire. I was in Ayrshire for 3 years, postgraduate studies, and then I married Janet in 1983. So I moved down to Newcastle in 1983 to get married, intending just to stay for a year. And that is 37 years ago. So the Lord's kept me here all that time.
Yeah, it's good you've never lost your accent as well. That's very encouraging, you know, from
us. Well, I tell people I've been here so long, that's why I've lost my accent.
So I'm particularly interested in the prison work. I just think that's quite amazing, actually, that we are able to, people like yourself, are able to go in and to speak about our Saviour in prison. What is that? And how long have you been visiting the prison down there?
I first visited Durham Prison in 1996. So the work's really been continuing in HMP Durham since 1996. So 24 years I've been getting in every week to Durham Prison. So it's been a long time, really. I've got to know the jail really well and got to know the staff really well as well.
Yes, I suppose something you don't think about really is, yeah, me thinking about your work and even praying for your work. I'm praying for the inmates, but I suppose you're having a huge amount of contact with the staff as well.
Well, it's interesting. During the lockdown, there's been a lot more opportunities with staff than I've ever had before. I've had a lot of good conversations with staff, but I often talk about the thief on the cross that was converted, but Acts 16, the Philippian jailer was converted, wasn't he? Because there was the gospel in the jail. So I see both staff and prisoners equally as the field for the gospel in the prison, really.
Absolutely, yes. Souls that require a saviour. So we'll come on to your work shortly, sort of thing, but just does it take a while to break down barriers, especially with the inmates when you're in there? Are they more open than they would be in other occasions? Are they?
The key really to the prison work, Graeme, is having a good governor and a good managing chaplain who allows you the liberty to do what the Lord's called you to do. And over the years in Durham Prison, I've been very, very thankful that the Lord's given me good governors and good managing chaplains who have been very open and cooperative, and particularly now the governor and the chaplain we've got at the moment is just excellent. They really encourage me to go in because of the street work, really, because the way into the jail was really the men that I knew on the street that were going to jail. And so I began in 1994 visiting the guys in the jail that had come from the street. And so the overlap of the street work and the prison work is really where the strength of the work comes. So it's been a long time in the jail, and the jail's developed and the jail has changed in its character. So the work that we do in the jail has changed its character quite a bit over the years as well.
I know that's quite amazing, and I suppose that is perhaps you are one of the biggest constants that some of these men would have. They have a contact with you in the street and a contact with you inside as well.
Well, it's really interesting, Graeme, because just 2 weeks ago, a young man came to the jail, because we now take young offenders into Durham Jail, who was maybe 19, and his name, I recognised his name. And when I went to visit him in his cell, and we got to talk about his family, his grandmother came to my Sunday school class and children's meeting in North Shields when we were there way back in the 1980s. So I've got to know the men really, really well. I've preached the gospel to almost three generations now. I've had grandfathers, fathers, and now sons in the jail. And
that's fantastic, actually. That's amazing.
A lot of the men, 70% of the men would be repeat offenders. So they keep coming back and coming back and coming back. So they see me on the street, they see me in the jail, they see me in the street, they see me in the jail. And the strength of the work really is the continuity of contact both inside and outside jail.
You just
they have a confidence, a trust, and they know that you're there all the time rather than just a flash in the pan, you know?
I think maybe in every work that is absolutely essential. I see it, especially in school as well, dealing with children from primary one up to 6 years in high school as well. And it's something, they recognise you outside of school, they recognise you walking down the street, they recognise you in the local swimming pool or whatever, you know, and it's just a little, maybe it's something small, but they associate you with the person of Christ or with the gospel or with whatever.
Absolutely. I mean, the Lord's sovereign, he can use a verse, he can use a person, he can use a single intervention. But I think in the general work of the Lord, the key is people listen to who they trust.
Absolutely.
And they only trust them as they get to know them. And they only trust them if they're living in consistency with what they're saying. And they need to see as well as hear what you're talking about in the gospel.
And I think that's really interesting, and maybe something that we can all try and endeavour to do more is to show it out, to manifest it in a life.
Universal thing, Graeme. And I think the local assembly is the real focus of that. I think that's why God designed it that way, that local assemblies should be local assemblies.
Absolutely. So I've been in prison a couple of times, I should say, just to visit somebody. I should just qualify that. Being from my village, you tend to know quite a few people in prison, and I find it quite harrowing, to be honest. The whole, just for those who have never been in, talk us through what you have to do just to physically get inside prison.
So most people think that getting into prison is visiting people in the visiting room. And I think, is that what you're talking about, Graeme?
That's what I did, yeah.
Which is quite a harrowing experience in itself, because depending on the level of security of the prison, depends on the searching procedures and security before you go in. HMP Durham, when I first went into it, was an ACAT high security jail. It's changed its character with 1,000 men and 500 women at the time. And so because it was a high security, it was a very, very tight entrance. And even now, there's still a lot of tight security for us going in and out of the prison. So I have an ID badge. It would be wrong of me to tell you all the practical details of the security going in.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there's a double door portal, there's some biometrics, there's search dogs, all sorts of things. So once you're in really. And I have the advantage that by God's grace I've always been able to carry keys, so I'm not escorted, I'm not accompanied. I have, by the grace of God and the means of the governor and the chaplain, I have totally free reign, independent reign within the jail.
That's great. So you go into the jail then, and you go to the, do you go to the communal area, or do you go to the cell to speak to the inmates? What's?
I have free reign anywhere I go, Graeme. I go in at 7 a.m. in the morning. I'm usually in until about 4:30 in the afternoon. I visit men in their cells. Over the years, we've run Bible classes. I visit the healthcare unit, the segregation unit, solitary confinement unit. I have free reign to go into some of the specialist forensic units, that we've got in the jail. I don't need an invitation. I'm totally at liberty to go and spend as much time with any man as I choose, really. Get access to the education, get access to the workshops. If they're on the exercise, I can go and sit in the exercise yard with them and speak with them in the exercise yard.
That's wonderful. I never actually appreciated how much liberty you had. Actually, that is a real work of the Lord, actually, to get to have that.
Graeme, to be honest with you, brother, every week I go in, I almost pinch myself and think, is this real? The Lord has given me, as far as I'm aware, unprecedented access to the men inside HMP Durham.
I think everyone listening to this podcast, that is something that we actively need to be praying, that situation stays the same, because to think of being able to walk into an inmate cell and speak to them is quite spectacular, actually.
So the visiting room, I visit the visiting room. So during the afternoon, I would go into the visiting room from the staff side and walk amongst the prisoners and talk to their families in the prison visiting room as well. Yeah. I would encourage folks to try and visit prisoners in jail. I mean, it's not possible at the moment because of lockdown. Yeah. Men who particularly have got no family or difficulties love it when Christians go and visit them in jail. And it is a harrowing experience and you have to go through security and searches. But I would encourage folks to do that. It's really makes a big impact on people when they do that.
I was amazed when I was in a couple of times at the number of children that were there as well, actually, children that obviously there visiting family members and so on, and how they just sort of almost took it in their stride. It just was normal for them just to be there, just to be doing that. It got me thinking, maybe I wonder if there's something that could be done at the same time with the young ones that are there and having something for them. But it's amazing.
I've had the opportunity over the years to take folks in with me, folks that have been visiting for meetings. I've been able to take them in. The chaplain gives me free rein to take people in to jail and give them a tour. And I often say to folks, what do you think is the saddest place in the prison? And they all say, oh, the segregation unit. And I say, no, it's the visiting room. Because I watch infants days old being brought in to see their dads, and kids, preschool kids coming in, and then school kids coming in, and the children grow up believing that prison is a normal part of life and expect eventually they'll be there. Yeah. And just, you're right, to see the children in the prison is just heartbreaking, really heartbreaking. Yeah,
so just to think a little bit about the work then that you're involved in, is there a structure that you go through with them, or is it quite fluid and flexible, or do you have something else?
So traditionally, whatever condition the jail was in, A-cap or B-cap, I would go in the morning, I would visit every man that had come to jail that week. I would normally, on the desk that I use, have a wee pile of papers from guys from the street that have come in, and they always ask on reception, can I see them? So there would be always a group of requests. But I would take the lists of the men that had come in during the week, and I would visit everyone in their cell first thing in the morning. So the morning I would go round cell to cell, just visiting guys, just explaining who I am, telling them about the Bible class it's on, give them what's called a welcome pack. I've got a welcome pack to Durham Jail, which consists of just a seed sower's text and some other bits and pieces inside Trinitarian Bible Society, or D1 publications as they're called now, do diaries for prisons, and I give everyone a diary. It's got a verse on every day. So I would visit the men in reception. I would then go to healthcare, see everybody in healthcare. I would then go into the segregation unit, see everybody in the segregation unit. Any men that are on suicide watch or constant watch, I would get a list of them. I would probably go and visit them as well. And then traditionally, the afternoon was Bible class, where I was allowed to have 12 to 20 men in a Bible class. So you would take them over to the chapel. I would have them for 3 hours. We would have a session, break for coffee, and then another session. And then I would take them there and I would take them back to their cells. And so the day would be very, very busy, really, and very reactive as well. Very often the control room would call me on my radio and say, look, Jim, somebody's asking to see a chaplain. Could you go and see a guy on F-Wing? So a lot of it's very reactive as well as proactive.
And do you ever feel vulnerable in the situation? Do you feel under threat yourself, or think, this is getting a little bit heated here? Or...
That depends what you mean by that, Graham. I feel more vulnerable in Tesco's than I do in Durham Jail.
Yeah.
Simply because the security within the jail is very high. Yeah. Prison officers are always there. There is tension, there is violence, there is drugs. But when I walk through the gate at 7 o'clock in the morning, it's like walking onto a different world or a planet. You just adopt a different mindset. You just adopt a security mindset. You never put yourself in a vulnerable position. You never, if there's trouble around, you don't stay, you go. There's just a different mindset when you're in.
Yeah.
Have I been threatened? Yes. Have I seen violence? Yes. Have I been threatened with violence? Yes. By God's grace, I've been preserved every time. You can either do it or you can't, and that's not a reflection of me. Same in every part of the prison. There's people who walk through the door and think, I'll never go in here again, and yet there's other people who go in and think, this is the place for me.
Yeah,
and I know that's the place that God has for me, so I'm very confident in the grace of God, you know.
Actually, it's the Lord fitting someone for a work, and that's just that. You know, you're fitted for a work, and the opportunity is there, the door's opened, as Paul says, an effective active door is open, actually. It's,
I think that's what God does with everybody, Graham.
Yeah.
I think too few of us find out what God wants us to do and do it.
Yeah.
Too many of us just spread ourselves too thin, trying to do everything.
Yeah, I can empathise with that 100%.
And I think in this day and age, particularly amongst assemblies, folks who are serving need to find what God has to do, got for them to do, and do it with all their might, do it with their heart and soul, and commit themselves to it, you know, rather than the usual, you know.
And realise there's not a hierarchy or a list of better services than others. It's all for the Lord. That's quite a simple straightforward, isn't it? Absolutely.
Absolutely, Graham. Absolutely.
No. So I think you're preaching the gospel to these men. Have you had the privilege of seeing some of them come to Christ?
Oh, wonderfully, Graham, wonderfully. I mean, I must be doing it wrong, Graham, because the what I'm looking for in jail is, number one, sowing seed. That's the primary purpose I'm there. If God by his grace grants me to see some fruit from that, I'll praise the Lord. Right, but my primary purpose is to sow seed. Over the years, I could think of maybe not the number of two hands, the fingers in two hands, the number of men that I would be genuinely convinced came to a transforming, saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've seen lots of professions, I've seen lots of disappointments, but I think the gospel is more than just making men say, I'm looking for the gospel to transform their lives as well. And I believe that the evidence of a profession is seeing a continuing transformation of life.
Yeah.
I know they've got problems, addiction problems, abuse, I understand all that, and I know it's not easy for some of them. But I'm looking for real fruit. And I heard a report recently, and the brother said if he didn't see 24 men saved every year in jail, he was thinking he was failing. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes.
Yeah.
And the proper assessment will be in that day. But I can think of men right off the top of my head that I know God have saved, transformed, changed. And
yeah, that's wonderful, absolutely amazing to think of the power of the gospel working in a place like that and transforming people's lives.
But the essence of the work is seed sowing. That's what it is. It's getting the word. So by putting tracts in men's hands, by having Bible classes, putting seed sowers up in their wall. A brother phoned me a few years ago and said, Jim, are you watching the news? And I said, no, I'm not watching. He says, well, watch the news. And there was a film unit inside Durham Jail interviewing a fella, and as they were interviewing him in his cell, there was a seed source text up on the wall, stuck on by toothpaste. Now, I don't know who the guy was. I don't know when the text got there. It might have been left by a previous prisoner. But the point is, the word of God, John 3:16, was up in that cell for everybody to see.
That's tremendous. That's wonderful.
That's the primary work. That's the primary work.
So I wasn't long commended, to be honest, to the work, and a sister asked me a question at the back of the hall one evening and says, "So have you seen much success?" And to be honest, that's 9 years ago, and I've still never answered her because what a silly question.
One of my favourite stories, Graeme, is after a report meeting, a brother came to me and said, this was early on as well, and he says, have you seen much success? And have you seen many saved, baptised and brought through to the assembly? My answer was simple. I says, brother, have you seen many saved, baptised and brought through to the assembly recently?
Yeah.
And the conversation finished.
Yeah.
We're too obsessed.
Absolutely.
We're looking for results. Our only job is to sow seed. God brings results in his own time.
All we're asked to do in the parable of the sower, the seed's nothing, the ground's nothing to do with the sower. The ground's nothing. He just has got the seed, which is the word of God, and that's all he has. Just
and if we see fruit, we praise the Lord. And if we see fruit, it's the Lord's doing, it's not our doing. And often in jail and street work, you're very much conscious that you're a small part in a long chain that God is using in a man's life.
Yeah, that's wonderful. So then, obviously, so you've got the continuity of them speaking to them before they go to prison, and then speaking to them when they are incarcerated, and then when they're released as well. I suppose you're able to pick up where you left off when they're back out on the street again.
Yeah, I mean, I can feed a guy on Sunday night and then see him in jail on Friday, or I can see him in jail on Sunday and he'll be coming to my soup kitchen on Sunday night and he's seeing the same guy and hearing the same message, and just that continuity of contact. There's a lot of people who are trying hard, Graeme, and I understand that. But they trust people that are consistent.
Yeah.
Lots of people come and go, but they trust people that are there. And so by God's grace, he's managed to sustain me during this time. So I'm very thankful.
How you found it then during the whole lockdown situation? Have you still had access to the prison during the COVID situation?
I've actually had more access, Graeme, because a lot of the chaplains have gone off with COVID or they've been shielding, and the poor managing chaplain has been short of people to do chaplaincy work. So I've been in 2 or 3 times every week. And because there's no church services in jail and there's no Bible classes in jail, every man's locked up for 23 and a half hours a day.
Okay.
So they're just, it's just a pool of fish just waiting for me to go. So there's no lack. And so it's been wonderful, really. And Emmaus courses, I've been starting a lot of fellows in Emmaus courses. They're locked down in their cell, they're bored. And a lot of fellows have been starting the Emmaus Bible courses. And it's just been wonderful. It's difficult to keep up, actually.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. Just on supporting the work then, because I know there's people who listen to the podcast and people who are interested to help out and support in any ways. Is practically wise, is there anything that we could help you with, supplying you with to give out? Or?
Well, all the supplies I use, Graeme, are tracts, Emmaus Bible study courses, literature. That's the only expense that I have terms of getting into the jail. Praying's the big thing. Praying's absolutely the big thing. Emmaus courses we can buy, tracts we can buy. I buy a lot of tracts. I use particular types of tracts in jail because literacy's low. You need something that's particularly... And so I bring a lot of stuff in for the States, use a lot of seed sowers, use a lot of Emmaus Bible study courses. When I'm doing my Bible class, I usually use a DVD course. I've used all sorts over the years. So pray, and we're grateful for any support that the Lord's folks give us to support the work.
That has been extremely interesting for me, actually. It's for me, it's embarrassing, actually, to think of people that are in prison and have been in prison and even perhaps even will be in prison from this area. And you just think, oh, they're in prison, that's it. We'll see them when they get back out. But it's wonderful to think there's still people taking the gospel to them when they're in there. So I think we... But thank you for the work you do for the Lord, without a doubt, and we'll keep on praying for you and remembering you.
But Graeme, any one of us could be like that. When I look at a man in jail, I know that by God's grace, I've been preserved. I could easily be there.
Yeah.
We must never forget that. We look at people in difficult situations and think, well, I could never have been like that.
Yeah.
I could have been. Coming for Buckfast Alley, alcohol, where could we have been? Drugs.
Yeah. Jim and I went to the same secondary school, not at the same time, I should add actually.
But, I went with your Uncle Tom.
Yeah, but and so easily just you get sucked into the Western Scotland culture, and it's something to give God thanks for, his preserving hand, without a doubt, definitely.
We must never forget that. But for God's grace, that's exactly where we could have been.
Absolutely. We are going to have Jim back on the podcast, actually. We're going to have a little chat with him in the future about the street work he's doing as well. And then we're also going to get a little chat with him about the work he's doing in other places, especially with seed stores as well. Actually, there's one thing that springs to mind that I should ask you before we finish, Jim. You have also visited prisons in Malawi as well, is that right?
Yeah, through the work of the Lord in Malawi with Stephen Harper, the prison service here, I'm working with the prison service in the UK and the prison service in Malawi, trying to encourage chaplains to spread the gospel in Malawi. And by God's grace, Graham, it's amazing. I've been down to prison service headquarters. I've talked to the chaplain general, the training manager. I've talked to the highest in the land in the prison service. Yeah. And they're totally enthusiastic about taking the gospel or taking me over to Malawi. So that's been a wonderful blessing as well. But you need to get Stephen Harper to tell you about that.
Yeah, we'll make sure we've got enough time for that and get Stephen on the podcast. But well, thank you so much, Jim. It has been very insightful for me, and I'm sure there's so much that we can pray for, and we trust that God will bless your work.
Thanks, Graham. Appreciate it, brother.
We hope you've enjoyed the podcast today. Please remember to subscribe to our podcast and also to check regularly on social media for any updates. God bless and stay safe.